Turn in your Bible to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Now there are multitudes of places, multiple places we could turn in our Bible and the Scriptures to speak about this subject matter. But we're going to center it in John chapter 3 because the context of John 3 is applicable to some questions that we've received from time to time lately regarding people's teaching about being born again, the new birth, things like predestination, etc. But we're going to zoom back and look at the large picture, the whole picture of John chapter 3. I had contemplated reading this chapter. It is 36 verses long. But I'm going to trust that you'll read it for the sake of time and clarity. And so we're going to take an overview of it, and I trust that if you're a student of the Word, whoever you are, man, woman, boy, girl, teenager, preacher, that you'll read this chapter in its context and then be able to even review again what we're going to talk about. Now, this is for teaching others also, so I'm aiming this at people who will teach others, and I'm aiming this at people who are studying their Bible. You, as a teacher, need to be able to take it and help put it into the form of milk. We're going to do a lesson here shortly on dealing with false religions and false teachings, and we'll talk about the way to some basic things on dealing with the baby believer, that is, the young believer. And we know that it talks about milk and all that, but we know that milk is full of nutrients. Milk is full that newborn baby needs of protein and things that inoculated against many of the bad things in life. And so it is with teaching the Bible. Now, in John chapter 3, when we go through here, of course, many people will think, for example, of John chapter 3, verse 16. If you pick it up in verse 14 in preaching, he says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Now, there is a ton of teaching in there. There's a load of doctrine. For example, it would not be enough for us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ if he had not been lifted up. Believing on him, receiving him, trusting him would be a wonderful thing to do. It'd be the right thing to do, but it wouldn't save you. So he gives us here a great doctrinal statement. He said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up," a picture of the cross, crucifixion, that "whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have eternal life." You would not have received life through trust in Christ if he had not died. It would have been a great thing to believe on him. It would have been a good thing to believe on him. It would have been the right thing to do. So he goes on to say in verse 16, a well-known verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." If you're sitting there with a Bible that reads otherwise than this, you need to just trade it off, write poison on it, get you a King James Bible, and devour it, and you'll be feeding on truth. "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So notice verse 15, that whosoever what? Whosoever believeth in him. Verse 16, "Whosoever believeth in him. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Verse 17, now verse 18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Look down at the end of the chapter, verse 16, "He that believeth on the Son hath," present tense, "hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth," present tense, "on him." We're going to take this subject in John 3 of faith, of believe. Beware of men who make statements in such a manner that it's as if by them stating it, that makes it so. Beware of that. And I mean, I don't care if they're a fundamentalist, a Bible-believing independent Baptist. Watch out. There are some fellows who think because they think it, that makes it so. Or they think believing it makes it so. The two things that have to come together are the faith and the truth. people can believe many things, and it might motivate them. It might even empower them along a certain level. But that doesn't mix with truth. Not mixed with truth doesn't make it right or safe. In the passage of John 3, it starts out with a man named Nicodemus here. And he comes to the Lord by night, and he stumbled at what he didn't understand. The Lord Jesus Christ opens up his conversation with Nicodemus by saying straight out the gate, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And so Nicodemus says, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born?" This man should have known many of Scripture. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was of the Pharisees. He should have known the Scriptures. And so the Lord Jesus Christ challenges him. The Lord Jesus Christ goes into this discussion with him, and he begins to talk. Nicodemus says again, "How can these things be?" Men often break their neck, as we say in Bible teaching. Men often make their mistake when they come across something they don't understand. And so they set out to understand it. There are some things you'll never understand on this side of eternity. And there are things that you are supposed to teach and preach and believe and follow that you can't understand. But you'll understand them later. God calls them mysteries. There's at least seven of them named in Scripture, maybe more. Now, in Hebrews 11, verse 1, he said, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." God says, if you'll trust me, accept what I said, you'll be able to see some things. And then, of course, another famous verse 2, Hebrews 11, 6, "Without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So beware of these men who would take and complicate faith. In particular today, I would be referring, for example, to a Calvinist, a hyper-Calvinist, anybody like that. Give them any name you want. They are making an effort to complicate, confuse, and constrict faith. Now, we're going to look at three things. We're going to look at them in this passage of Scripture, and we'll look at it in some related passages of Scripture. So get these three things down, and I pray that it'll be a foundation for dealing with these kind of matters. Number one, man is commanded to believe. We are commanded to believe. You take this passage right here alone. Look at verse 12. "If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things?" Verse 11, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our testimony." You don't believe me. The verses we just read, verse 12, verse 15, verse 16, verse 18, verse 36, he says, believe. And he contrasts believe and believing not. There is not one statement in the entire Bible, all of Scripture, that says anything to the contrary. Why would the elders, Hebrews 11, obtain a good report if they had irresistibly believed? You see, it just takes a little bit of Bible common sense. Why would anyone face hell if, ready, if Christ died for the sins of the world, and the Bible tells you that, and they can't believe without God decreeing it, how could God possibly let anybody go to hell? You see, if what they say is so, then it is not fair for God to command man to believe, but man is commanded to believe in Scripture. He is commanded to believe. Let's take Adam and Eve. God put them in the garden. He set up the situation. He didn't threaten them. He gave them an absolute fact. You can eat of all these trees, one of which was the tree of life, which you could live forever. The other was the tree of death, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the entrance of this ability to know good and evil will kill you. He didn't say, I'll kill you. He said, it'll kill you. And the day you eat it thereof, you die. The wages of sin is death. Now, they had to believe God, but they didn't. Let's take Cain and Abel. Abel believed God, that God would take away his sins, that God would forgive him. Abel's your first character mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Okay? Cain couldn't believe it. Cain just refused to believe it. You say, well, God didn't give him faith. That's rubbish. You can't find any verse that teaches that. But we've just read multiple verses in one little chapter called John chapter 3 where God said, you believe. Trust me. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. John 3:16. The Bible says, I love them that love me. So you know what God did? He did the first thing. He did the first step. He made it possible for anybody on earth to love him. Anybody who will. You see, if you're not careful, you yourself will break your neck by violating scriptures just like they have. They have broken their neck in the Old Testament. They can't handle that Old Testament properly. They confuse prophecy with predestination. They confuse foreknowledge with foreordination. You see, from cover to cover, man is commanded to believe. Why don't you just set out on a little journey and read your Bible? See, the thing that tricks people up is this. If you take and you decree something yourself and say God decreed it because you decreed it, and you try to think it through yourself, the problem is it's like the verse over in Proverbs where he says a man that's wise in his own conceit is worse than a fool. In other words, what little wisdom God has given a man, if he takes credit for himself and begins to trust himself, it's going to lead him astray. Because everywhere you turn in the Bible, the issue between God and man is to believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that is reward of them that diligently seek him. You have in the verse, the one verse, Hebrews 11, verse 6, you have salvation and you have service. You have salvation and you have sanctification. You have salvation and separation. You see, service and sanctification and separation are based upon believing that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, if you're not careful, if you won't read your Bible, if you won't discipline your mind, there's all kind of stuff you could receive. If you took a child out who doesn't know any words yet, a little child learning about life, and you pointed to this tree outside the window here, and you said, little buddy, that is called a horse. Okay? And then you walked over to a horse and you said, little buddy, that is called a tree. And you did that with multiple things. You walked him up to a wheelbarrow, and you said, that is a camel. Okay? And so one day you tell him, go out and cut the branch off the tree. Okay? And load it on the camel. And you know what he does? He goes out and he cuts a leg off a horse and sticks it in a wheelbarrow. Now, the person next door that learned the vocabulary right and calls a tree, a horse, a wheelbarrow, a camel, they're not going to get that out of it. You say, well, that is absolutely crazy. No, no, it's not. That's what happens in these heresies. They give a definition, and they spin it and spin it and spin it and spin it and repeat it, repeat it, repeat it, repeat it, until what happens is they get people brainwashed, conditioned. If you're not careful as a believer, if there's some kids out there, if you're not careful, trying to understand what, but by faith we understand, but by faith we preach, but by faith we enjoy, it'll break your neck every time. Ready? Here's an absolute. Man is commanded to believe. Number two, man is commended for believing. Go to John chapter 6. another one of their famous little passages that they they think that a Christian's afraid of or a Bible teacher's afraid of, and you'll just have to forgive me, but that's not the case at all. There's some verses in the Bible I'm afraid of, but mainly because they teach such a strong judgment seat of Christ. And I'm heading there, and by the way, if you're saved, you're heading there. John chapter 6, verse 28, mark it. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on whom he has sent. It doesn't say this is God doing the work. This is, if I want to do the work of God, what might we do? What shall we do that we might work the works of God? His first commandment to them is to believe. So man is commended for believing. Perhaps you've read your New Testament. And if not, I hope, you know, you have a goal of reading through the New Testament. It wouldn't hurt you to read through it, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 times in the next month or so. Just set out and read it and devour it. It's amazing what you'll come away with and what will be with you the rest of your life if you'll get into reading your Bible. In Matthew chapter 8, we have this centurion that comes. And he said, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, verse 6, and grievously tormented. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. And said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. He was commended for his faith. Now, we could run many, many references. I can imagine that you're even thinking of some right now. So, man is commended for believing. You have to beware of false humility. You know what false humility is? False humility is what a lion uses. And your enemy goeth about as a roaring lion. And so when you're reading the Psalms and you hear him, you see him read, you hear him talk about the crouching lion, that's what the lion does. You ever watch a cat in the backyard when he's hunting? His posture goes down low. He's creeping while he's crouching. I've seen videos where they show lions coming back from a hunt with their bellies full. And their heads are down and they're just walking and they walk right through a herd, a whole mob of zebras. They walk right through them, and nobody panics because their posture is their full. But, oh, when they're hunting, them shoulders come up, that body goes down. Listen, beware of false humility. Beware of somebody trying to get you to think that you can't believe unless God gives you the first faith and no one else can believe and think that that's humility and that lifts up God. No, if it goes against God's Scripture, it is the lifting up of man's doctrine. The Lord has decided and decreed how he gets glorified. The Lord commends individual faith. He commends us for trusting him. He gives us the ability. Every single person can trust him. He is not willing that any should perish. You see, if you're not careful, why don't you mark this down? 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 9. And read it. You see, he gives us a statement in 1 Peter 3, 5, we're kept by the power of God. Sure you are. You're kept by the power of God. But you're claimed and commended for believing. So you come to Christ and you believe. They say, oh, your will is depraved. You can't find that anywhere. You can't find that. Because God commands man to believe. He won't command you to do something you can't do. And then he commends you for believing. See, if you'll take this and get all this down first, then when you come across these other people, and by the way, I'm just going to say this, a seasoned Bible teacher can spend a little time studying these other things. But if you're not a seasoned Bible teacher, the thing to do is learn your Bible first. It's easier to study man's words than God's words. I'll tell you that right away. It's more fruitful to study God's words than man's words. See? So the easy way out is to constantly debate about man's words. The easiest way for a person to get mixed up is to get away from the Scriptures. Man is commanded to believe Scripture to Scripture. I mean, we could, they're countless. Man is commended for believing. Think about Hebrews 11. Read it. Read Hebrews 11. Just sit down and read the passage. And what does he do? Man is commended. You see, it doesn't even fit with God's own writings and personality that he would tell us that he's going to start it. He's going to keep somebody else from. You say, well, does he blind some people? Sure he does. You know why? He looks upon their heart. Not their will, their heart. You see, they are resisting God with their free will because their heart is not willing to accept him. Now, man is commanded to believe. And then man is commended for believing. Now, man is crowned by believing. Now, this book is clear. Whosoever will. I mean, look at all the places our Lord himself said, whosoever will may come. Whosoever will be saved. And then, whoso wants a crown can pursue it. Go after it. You see, by believing unto obedience, that's why in Romans 1, salvation starts. He says that he gave him, he set him up for obedience to the faith. In other words, we hear the word of God and we respond. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. We preach the gospel. Someone says, I will. The one thing God gave me is the ability to respond. He endowed everybody with that potential ability to respond. You say, what if somebody's physically incapacitated? They've had a car wreck. They're born mentally handicapped. Well, he's already got that taken out because where there is no law, there is no transgression. God's got it all fixed, man. I tell you, these people, it's almost like they have a kindergarten Bible education, and I'm not being rude. I'm not being overstated. It's the Scriptures. Let me tell you what most of them spend most of their time on is man's writings and thinking. But now we got into that earlier on the elevation of thought. But here's the deal. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For which cause also I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Ready? For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What did he commit? His entire being, his entire life, his entire body, soul, spirit, wealth, everything. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now we're doing this to enable you to teach others also. So what you need to do is get your Bible out and mark places that where man is commanded to believe. Things that come to your mind that the Holy Spirit does, they're all through there. Then you mark where man is commended for believing. And then you mark where man is crowned by believing. You see, God takes and commends faith because it is a heart response that goes beyond my ability. Turn to Romans 8, Romans 7 and 8 real quick. Lay a foundation here. You got to get hold of this. God is not going to make it to where only he can make you love him. Start it. That would not be love. There would be no love in that at all. There's no love in it. These guys are full of baloney. And I'm being charitable. I'll be honest with you. You say, why do you say it that way? Because think of the pride it takes to claim that you know more than Scripture. Think of the pride it takes. And by the way, it's about 9 to 1. 90% of real Bible-believing Christians don't even buy what these guys put out for 20 seconds. You better get that. You say, well, there's some points that are similar. Well, of course. Every counterfeit has to be 95% right, or it can't be passed off as a counterfeit. But a little leaven leavens the whole lump. It's not where they agree, it's where they've sown leaven. Watch, Romans chapter 7. Get this. This thing's a heart response. It's a heart response. Romans chapter 7. Verse 14, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. But what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Ready? For to will is present with me. Will you get this? Romans 7, verse 18. Your will is not depraved. For to will. Do you get it? He says, I actually have a will. For to will is present with me. See, what happens is they would tell you that you can't even desire it. You say, well, what happens there? When you come to Christ and you will believe on Him with your heart, He puts a new nature inside you. The ability to will to do right. You say, well, God overcame your will. You can't find it. We just said He commands them to believe. Because we are free will creatures. Because God commands you to believe. He will commend you for believing, and He'll crown you by you believing Him. Ready? You get a crown when you live your life down here by faith, believing God that when you commit all things to Him, 2 Timothy 1:12, this is very simple. Help every person that you can influence to believe this. You commit it to Him. He keeps it. He crowns you at the end. Not in this life. All these knuckleheads today, folks, are trying to get crowned in this life. As one guy said, when you heard most fellas, you wouldn't think they were a great preacher, except they were introduced that way before they started. Okay? Now, man is crowned by believing. It started with His command to believe. Sin nature? Absolutely. It's with you to the grave. Can a Christian, a professing, born-again Christian, do something wrong? They can do anything a lost man can do. The outcome is different. The end of the way of the judgment seat is different. Faith, believing. Take these scriptures. Add some to it. Do some study. Get yourself some spiritual fatigue. And get in this book and then help others. Teach others also.